All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Boxed Mind in Witchcraft. We come to you this time getting ready for Ostara, and we have a special guest with me today. You've probably seen Holly on at least one of our YouTube videos. Was it Ostara last year you did for us?
It was either Imbolc or Ostara. I think so. It was right around this time of year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, deja vu.
Right, exactly.
Now, you are well-versed in this topic, because what do you teach, ma'am?
Well, I teach literature, and my heart is mythology, comparative mythology, and Celtic mythology. And sort of over the years, I've done more and more research, and quite frankly, I'm a nerd, so I'm always learning. And it's sort of all connected, because I'm really of Celtic and Bohemian, those are my people. So it just makes sense to connect it. I've been a solitary practitioner for probably 35 years, most of my life.
Feels like ever, right?
Yeah, even when I was a little kid, I knew. And so did, unfortunately, a lot of my family. But it's just sort of, you know, it's like on all of our journeys, you add to your practice, and it's been really, really very fruitful to add that Celtic element as well. So
you understand the whole self-teaching, self-learning.
Yeah, definitely.
For probably a lot of our listeners, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Right.
So you come today bringing us all the knowledge, maybe not all, because it's a smaller podcast, right? We can't keep everybody up all night.
Right, exactly.
About Ostara. So what exactly is Ostara?
So Ostara is considered, it's a pagan holiday, but it also has its roots in the Celtic world as well. It's definitely the spring equinox or vernal equinox. This year it will happen, it usually happens somewhere in between the 20th and the 22nd of March. This year it's on Sunday, March 20th, and it's really the turning of the year when the light is in perfect balance. So we have equal parts of day and equal parts of night. And it's at that exact time when, after that, the sun has won, the light has won, and we overtaken the darkness. And to some degree, what started at Yule, which was kind of an ending, and what was going on in Imbolc, where this, you know, the light was just starting to come back and life is reuniting. The Celts believe that the goddess Bridget was waking up at that time and sort of taking the torch of life from the old winter's hag Kaliach. And so now it's coming into more fruition. So as the light, we know, I don't know about you, but this time of the year is so dreary, and you get that warm, just a breeze in the air, and that light, as you start to notice it's starting to come back. And it's like, finally, there's some hope for rebirth and regeneration. So that's really the themes of Ostara. Obviously, it is related to the Christian Easter. However, a lot of, I think, the symbols and archetypes of Ostara have kind of gone in between both holidays. But it's not only that perfect balance, but it's a time really for us to think about leaving what we don't need in the past, finding emotional, spiritual balance for ourselves, seeing that life is coming back, and that, you know, we can do that too. We can grow. And there's a lot of hope in the air, I think, at this time, which after a long winter is just so wonderful.
It is. Normally, I don't mind the season so much, but I'm over it.
I am
so over it this year.
Yeah, so done. I like did the splits on the ice last week, and I was, you know, like,
I'm just tired of being cold.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I paid money for heated electric socks.
I hear
and,
you. That's all
and
beautiful.
And rechargeable hand warmers. This is ridiculous.
Right.
So you mentioned Bridget in part of your description here. So is she the only goddess for Ostara?
No, definitely not. I think that, as you can tell from the name Ostara, it is really based on the goddess Eostre, who was of Germanic, Celtic, Anglo-Saxon heritage. She was considered the goddess of dawn and of light, which makes part of her name is to shine, so that makes total sense. And I think that at this time, is like we were talking about, it's really we start to notice, whoa, it's 6 o'clock and it's still light, and there's, you know, the sky looks different, and we're
happy
like
dance.
Oh my god, there's hope, we're gonna make this. And if you were indigenous Celtic people that really lived on, you know, their survival was, you know, looking to the seasons and the land, I mean, this was a time of thankfulness and gratitude, and knowing that, you know, in February, March, the lambs would give birth, and so they had milk that they could use to eat. They're kind of done with all their salted meats, et cetera, from Samhain, and you know, and things would start to lay eggs again, you know, and so it was very connected with their survival, the land. And I just, at this time, like, I just want there to be flowers. I want there to be growing things. And that's sort of, you know, part of looking forward to Beltane and, you know, later spring festivals. So,
I mean, I'm not going to lie, while kind of getting ready for this, I kept finding myself looking more for the Beltane info. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I want the warmth.
I'm like, I want a big forest party, but alas, we have a couple more.
So what are some of the symbols most commonly?
Well, obviously, the crossover of the hare and the goddess, and eggs, of course, and flower buds as well. Mm-hmm. Definitely the hare has always been connected with, in Celtic mythology, with the goddess. They are very, very fruitful, and they we had the accident of, you know, having two bunnies, thought they were both girls, and alas, we had like 20 bunnies, so,
oh, no.
You know, it happens. But they definitely, and they also are sort of nocturnal in that they watch the moon, and so, like, the indigenous people, Celts, they watched that, they knew that, and it was completely against social norms, spiritual norms as well, for the Druids and the Celtic people to kill or eat hares, because it was tied to the goddess and to spirituality in the other world. So this is definitely, you know, thus the bunny rabbit, et cetera. You wonder, what does that have to do with, you know,
right.
Well, it's fertility. And that's exactly what it's about. And but wait a second, Easter bunnies bunnies aren't having eggs, you know, so what's that about?
Where did the egg come from too?
So and that is really a very old historical archetype of birth, of all of the potential of life being in that, you know, in that egg. And even stories of a lot of stories across cultures have that symbol of the egg. I know there are several stories in Indian mythology, and that idea of that cosmic egg, where basically everything, all of life, is within. Mm-hmm. And there are some stories related to the goddess and how the hare wanted to give a gift to the goddess. All of the animals were, you know, wanting to give a gift, and the hare was very, it was the end of the winter, and he was very hungry, and he didn't have much to give, and he had one egg left, and he, you know, gave that to the goddess. And so there are other stories as well. Maybe sometime we can talk about those, but
okay,
there's a
that
lot
could be
of
a part
stories.
Two.
Yes, exactly. But always, at this time, and in Celtic myth in general, it's about transformation, about how energy never really ends. Do you know what I mean? Like, we, if you look at that wheel, it is the wheel of life. It is, you look outside, and when everything is winter and dead, and then a snowdrop comes up, and, you know, around Bridget's Day, and then suddenly you have buds and flowers, and you know, and it's just, that's really how, you know, their worldview was created, because they understood that. And I think that's a really, for me, it gives me a lot of peace that, you know, it's just like energy continues to flow. And I think that's a really beautiful like at this time of the year, we all need a reminder.
Right. Like literally sure. The sun's going to come out at some point.
It's going to come back. Okay.
I mean, at least here in Ohio, it seems for very short fleeting amounts of time. So let's say you want to make an altar.
Right.
What can you put on there?
Well, I have lots of ideas for that. and it keeps growing, and you know, and you just went to the Tucson show, so it's growing even more. So I know,
like, look at all the things.
Like, oh no, it's so beautiful, and I want it. But for the altar ideas, I like to start with sort of what is, you know, for me, what is the theme? What am I celebrating? What am I, you know, how am I giving thanks to the natural world, to the goddess? And certainly the themes of this time of year are themes of, you know, spiritual hope and rebirth and fertility and really leaving all the things that we don't want that are dead in our, you know, in our lives behind, and having the confidence and faith to go for it and, you know, recreate ourselves. So for me, I like the idea of, I always do use candles. So of course I have green, yellow, sort of a lilac-y purple and white, white for the goddess, purple. Yellow is for me really, you know, the return of the sun. The green is the return of the earth. Mm-hmm. And I think purple is very much a protective color, lilacs. And from that, I usually always want to include something from the natural world. So if I can get my hands on any sort of flowers, I add that most definitely. So at that time, and that's one of the really the, you know, if I can find any sort of early blooms at that time, I know forsythia's yellow, I have a lot of that in my yard, daffodils, hyacinths, crocuses, violets, pussy willows along the, you know, in the country. I just love to make that part of my ritual.
And I love hyacinths.
Oh, me too.
They smell so good. But they're such a short flower.
I know it. I'm going to attempt to, I think, force some bulbs at some point or another, because I just love that idea. In between, like, in bulk and Ostara, just to have some blooms coming. Yeah.
Well, I do need to send an apology to the person who is in the process of buying my house, because they're going to have a crap ton of hyacinths. Yes. And if they don't like them, they're going to be tormented, because I have tons of the blues and the purples and the pinks that will be coming out.
I live a mile from this person. I am so going to go and harvest. please let me harvest some of them.
If you are not a fan, sorry. Because there's also like daffodils on the one side of the house. And I would always look
perfect.
For those.
That's so perfect.
And there are some people who just don't like them. And I'm like, why?
After a long...
That's kind of like one of the first signs.
I know. It's like, because in the Celtic world, they're a little ahead of us. And so like they'll have the snowdrops popping through the snow. And I'm like, oh,
it's coming.
So that's when I see, you know, if I see hyacinths and I'm so excited. So totally excited. But usually on the altar too, of course, we, you know, stones and crystals, which we're both, I think, you know, it's acknowledgement to the earth, the beauty of, you know, what she's created, and also, you know, sending out good energy to everyone around us and really creating that sacred space. So I do the same thing with like the colors and the theme. So some of the stones that I like to include are usually green, of course, which, but I think peridot, you know, is known for releasing bad habits, which makes thematically a lot of sense. I really love green moonstone. It's just so ethereal, and it both, for me, it's a connection between the spiritual and that natural world. I don't know, when I have one in my hand, I just feel good. So that makes me happy. I know I just saw a piece of serpentine that you had today, and I was just going crazy about it. That's definitely good for healing past emotions, that sort of thing. Moss agate, I can't help but think forest at this point, and Beltane is coming. So, and then I would, for the goddess, to represent the goddess, I often use selenite. You have some gorgeous pieces Rainbow Moonstone, definitely. And then the yellows. The yellows always transition to into the, you know, into the Liva and mm-hmm. beyond. But that's kind of just the beginning of the light stones. I kind of like to look for like maybe a yellow fluorite, topaz, citrine, because it's a softer and, you know.
It's like the pastel-y yellow, totally, not the yeah, hard yellow.
Right. Because then later in, you know, at Liva at midsummer, when the sun is just at its glory, then, you know, we're talking carnelians and, you know, carnelian and that
orchid
sort of thing.
Calcites.
Yes, and exactly. Exactly right. So I also, of course, like part of the celebration, and I couldn't like be Celtic if I didn't celebrate in this way. It's like, I love to have family and friends around me at these celebrations and just baking and, you know, whether it's drinking tea or some other wonderful libation, you know, that incorporates, you know, herbs and all of this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely making incense. We create a specific incense blend as well, which probably I'm sure there will be some available here, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that also goes with this idea of, like for me, lady's mantle, an offering to the goddess, lemon balm, orange peel for the sun, chamomile, wood betony is for protection and dreaming, and then if I can get my hands on any sort of like violets or early, I use them also in my incense to, you know, as an offering as well. So, and there's all sorts of things, not just the altar, but things like that you can create,
mm-hmm.
Including, like I said, with the eggs, using all of it. With that idea of rebirth and new life, I like to plant seeds because I'm sort of I love growing things. Sometimes it turns into a jungle midsummer, but alas, you know, I always have high hopes that it's going to work out. But if you take eggs and you basically just put a little crack on the top and gently peel off the top, you can dump the eggs into to save for, you know, an omelet or a quiche to celebrate the season with, you know, herbs and that sort of thing.
No waste.
Right, no waste. And then I like to take the eggs as obviously as a sign of fertility and rebirth. And I'll put, you can put planting
Potting soil.
Thank you. I'm blanking out. And then just put the seeds in there and put them in a window. Like I often like take a half carton or even if you're wanting to plant a lot and mm-hmm. you can put them back into a carton and put them in your windowsill. And it's just so symbolic and so wonderful. I think it's, for me, it's just a really easy way to make an offering. And then later at Beltane, around May, I can usually transplant them into, you know, bigger pots and maybe.
You know, my mind's sitting there going, before you empty the egg out,
mm-hmm.
decorate the egg with
totally.
The symbols or something that representing some sort of spell-working intention.
Right. Exactly.
So then as that plant is growing.
Right. And then because, like you're saying, the intention work that's wonderful because then when you actually transplant it into the earth, back into the earth, the eggs and it nourishes the roots mm-hmm. and it's really a full cycle. And I think it's such a simple thing, but it's really symbolic. And I think it has such good energy. Most definitely. So,
You know, I always wonder, cause you know, I, had Catholic upbringing, and I can never understand like where does this egg come from with
the Easter bunny, like what?
Right,
exactly. But it's funny because in the pagan world, there's a lot of Ostara is one of those holidays that people like to fight about because they're like, oh, that's not. You know, but there's enough historical evidence that I do believe. That definitely from like the language, a lot of archaeologists look at the language to see if you can't find specific artifacts of the peoples, like, or the goddesses, there's enough mention of it, there's enough of Eostre, and there's just the cognates of the language, because there were other, throughout Europe, there were other, like, in Rome, it was Aurora, and Greek Eos, and I think that they're all cognates, and so there's a lot of evidence that she did indeed exist with the original Celtic peoples, Anglo-Saxons, but regardless, we make, in the pagan world, we make our own traditions, and you know what I mean? It's constantly evolving, and I think that even though there's a little bit of, you know, back and forth on Ostara,
who came first?
Yeah, who stole came from first? Who, exactly. I think we have it. I still think that we, you know, it evolved the other way around. So, you know,
the original OG.
Exactly. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited, and I cannot wait for Beltane.
Right. I mean,
party in the forest. And by that time, we'll all be rejuvenated and feel so much better. And I think that sometimes too, like, I know for me, I get so overwhelmed with life. You know, we're all so busy. And I think that we all deserve it to slow down and take one, you know, that's why I think these holidays are so meaningful to me, that just take a day, have some wine, be thankful, you know, and give back. And I think it really is such a big deal for our well-being and spirituality.
Taking that minute to touch base back into the nature around you.
Right. Exactly.
So slow down and pay attention and feel it.
It's important.
Like, I miss just sitting outside.
Oh, me too. I'm like, I can't wait for bonfires and wine.
Yes.
And spirit work.
I come home every day and I look at my little glider rocker full of snow, and I'm like, this is so wrong.
Right.
I can't wait to sit outside and enjoy.
Indeed.
So, hinting about Beltane, I'm sure we can talk you into coming back for a Beltane recording.
I would love to. It's one of my faves.
We may even have to do a YouTube on and showing examples for anybody who is just kind of starting out and not quite sure what to do. But thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Helping all of us along that are kind of starting out, wanting to know. Or if you've been out of the game a little bit.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. That's exactly, like, they just, you know, like, some of us just, you know, I think we're all feeling a little disconnected, and it's time to connect.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening in with us. And again, Holly has joined us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm sure you'll hear Holly again, if not see Holly on some YouTubes.
Okay.
The YouTubers.
Right.